you know, the problem is yeah, there's just no debate. There's no civil debate anymore. The spaces are being closed down, whatever spaces there might have been, and that's why it seems like the possible civil war scenario is looming. But let's hope I'm wrong, because I thought, like Jared thought, a little bit more. Maybe I'm being a little scared off, because yeah, it's scary what's happening. Let's just put it right out there and say it. Okay, well, my time is up. We are plumb out of time here on KBOO Community Radio. Thank you, Ty, for taking all the callers. Thank you for calling in. Go to KBOO.fm and support this this little powerful community radio station. And maybe we still got some Buffy St. Marie to go out with, or whatever we got. Thank you all for listening, and I'll talk at you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Do you believe in the power of community radio? Then show your support by donating to KBOO today. We have a fundraising goal of $80,000, and we need listeners like you to help us get there. Show your support for non-commercial, people-powered community radio by going to kboo.fm and clicking on the donate button to become a member.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Crossing Boundaries, virtual fishing derby and auction, from Saturday, September 26th through Sunday, October 4th, streaming online. This fundraiser, for the conservation of Pacific Northwest salmon and steelhead, features a virtual fishing derby, auction, trivia night, and more. Again, that's Crossing Boundaries, virtual fishing derby and auction, from Saturday, September 26th through Sunday, October 4th, streaming online. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm a going fishing, mama's going fishing, and the baby going fishing too.
Welcome to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. We feature interviews with leaders in the community focusing on issues important to Washington County.
Today, our show was taped during the volatile COVID-19 pandemic. With our studio unavailable to us and our commitment to social distancing, we are using the Zoom platform to record today's show. Welcome to Inside Washington County. I'm Rob Solomon. Our guest today is Leticia Aguilar, Chicas Youth Development Program Manager for Adelante Mujeres. Leticia has worked with the organization for quite some time and will share with us today how Adelante Mujeres works in general, how its work has been affected by COVID-19, and we'll discuss the Chicas program too. Welcome, Leticia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Our pleasure. I understand that Adelante Mujeres roughly translates to women moving forward. Your focus is on Latina women and girls. Can you help us to understand what their needs are?
Yeah, so in Adelante Mujeres, our mission is to empower Latina women and their families to become leaders in their community. And that is by providing them with education, enterprise opportunities, and leadership training. And so we are able to do that with throughout all the different programs that we offer in Adelante Mujeres.
And you know, probably anyone who seeks employment opportunities and the opportunity to grow could use that kind of training. What are the specific obstacles that the folks you work with have to face?
You know, absolutely. I can honestly tell you, and I've always shared that Adelante Mujeres doesn't only empower our participants and those that come in to, looking for to join our programs, but also within, and I'm obviously a clear example of that. I actually joined the organization over 10 years ago, and I came in and, as an administrative assistant, and eventually took on different roles, and now I'm the program manager for our youth development program that supports over 700 students. And so that's exactly, I feel like that's exactly what our participants do. They wanna thrive. They wanna do bigger things. And so when they come to Adelante Mujeres, they come to look for those opportunities. Oftentimes the women that we work with haven't had those opportunities growing up in their families. And now as adults, I'm thinking about the older women, they wanna start doing, you know, taking English classes, becoming more empowered. And so we do that also with our young Latinas. We work with them because they want to do bigger things. And so they have so much potential, and it's just a matter of supporting them and guiding them through that process.
Other than linguistic issues, which some folks would face, are there specific cultural issues that you address with your students, the folks that you're trying to help?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm just thinking about the program that I work with is obviously focused with the younger students, third through 12th graders. And so a lot of our students are first generation. And so a lot of them come from families, maybe about 80% of our families don't have any formal education. And so obviously introducing them to new things, introducing them to what college life is going to be like. And at one point, I mean, 8 years ago, our students, we were pushing really hard to make sure that they had aspirations to go to college, because at that time it wasn't really as big as now. Now, like, our students want to go to college, and so it's just a matter of now walking them through that process. And then once they do go to college, how do we also make sure that they are staying in college, because they are coming from a family that didn't go to college. And so once they get into college, it's a completely different environment. They might not see a lot of kids that look like them. And so making sure that they are staying there, they are staying motivated, and that we are walking them through the different challenges that they will face in college as well.
How, I mean, it's wonderful that you do that, that you follow them through, that you don't just kind of leave them to flounder on their own. But how do you do that? How do you monitor these folks once they've entered college?
Yeah, you know, Adelante Mujeres is an organization that addresses the needs of the community. So once we identify a need, once we, or the families come to us and they say, you know, this is where I really need support, and we really try very hard to make sure that we are addressing their needs and not just like, oh, we think this will be great, let's do it. And so that's exactly what we identify with the Chicas program. We were noticing that for the past 8 years, we've had 100% high school graduation, and we've had 95% college enrollment. And so that is great. But one of the things that we started noticing is that our girls were going off to college, yet once they were in college, they were dropping out. And so we were noticing that, we're like, wait a minute, there's something lacking here. And we would check in with our girls, and they say, you know, there was a couple things happening. One was they were feeling guilty, because at one point they were the ones supporting their families with childcare, you know, taking care of their little ones, their little siblings, translating for parents, just supporting them in different areas around the house, or even holding summer jobs to help bring some income. And so they had that bit of a guilt of like, now we're gone and we left our families. And also just navigating the system, you know, it's a very different system. And so they had been used to receiving that one-on-one support from their facilitators. A lot of students go and are in the program from third through 12th grade. And so they've had this adult, other adult mentor that's been guiding them through every process in high school, you know, reminding them, you have this assignment due, you have your essay that needs to be turned in, you have a scholarship to apply for. And so obviously when you're in college, there's no one reminding you for that. And so then that's where I realized we needed to open a new position. And we recently, this January, opened the position of a college and career coordinator. So this person is specifically working with our college students, and I'm now helping them navigate college, and then also bringing them back to the community to mentor other students, and you know, put those skills and start practicing those things that they might want to do once they get their job.
Now that sounds excellent. Have you seen a better retention rate since you've started doing that? Retention rate, folks staying in college.
We just started this in January, so it really was very beneficial just because of COVID, because our facilitators were very busy writing virtual programming. And so then you have this group of seniors that were, lost at this point because they didn't know what was going to happen. There was a lot of emotions running, a lot of emotions because the reality was a lot of these girls were the first ones to graduate, from high school. And so you can only imagine as for them what it was like to say, they had been looking forward to this for years. Their families had been looking forward to seeing them walk and get their diploma. And so there was just a lot going on. And so we were very fortunate to have our college and career coordinator on board because she was really able to focus on providing individualized support to our seniors, helping them apply for scholarships and all the different things they needed so that our other facilitators could focus on providing that emotional support during our virtual sessions because the rest of the girls were also struggling, trying to figure out how to navigate remote learning. So, as you know, it has been quite a different time. And so we've been very fortunate to have amazing facilitators that have provided the best support to all of our students.
And are these volunteer positions, the facilitators?
No. So our program is very unique. The Chicas program is actually very unique because all of our facilitators are Latina, bilingual, bicultural, and our program specifically focused on supporting Latina students. And so they are paid positions. They are, a lot of them are recent college graduates. So it is great because our students can identify with them. They can speak their own language. They can relate to them. And they can also see, wow, you did it. You graduated from college. I will be in your shoes at one point. And so I think that's what makes our program so, so unique. And it makes a huge difference.
We'll learn a little more about the Chicas program in a few moments. But when I was doing some research, I count 9 other programs run by your organization. Could you please tell us about them and how they work?
Absolutely. So, for example, some of the things, as I mentioned earlier, our program has different opportunities, leadership, enterprise, empowering. Mm-hmm. And so with that, we have different departments in the organization. We have the education department, which has classes for early education, the youth development, adult education, and beyond trauma, which offers classes. So what helps adult women who are carrying a lot of trauma in their lives overcome that by offering and participating in our classes. So that's the education department. And then we have the enterprise department that has the business, the empresa. So it's a business program that supports small businesses to start their business and provides them with coaching, access to capital. And so all the different processes, all the different steps that it requires for you to start your small business. We also have the farmers market. We run the Forest Grove Farmers Market, and we just started the Cornelius Farmers Market as well. And then we have a immigrant or the leadership department, which has the program called the Civic Leaders Leadership Project, which brings different members from the community to receive more intense training around leadership. We also have the Immigrant Solidarity Project. This is a very fairly new project. So the Immigrant Solidarity Project basically responds to the fear and trauma experienced by Latino immigrants in Washington County. And it is a project that we collaborate with Bienestar Centro Cultural and Community Action. And basically it is to provide updated resources to our Latino community, to our immigrant community, educational workshops, opportunities, and as well as engaging them in the different efforts, different advocacy efforts, when, for example, the license one, making sure that everybody had the opportunity to get a license. There was a lot of advocacy that happened through this project in Adelante Mujeres, and really just it's all about creating awareness and getting more people involved, because at the end of the day, that's oftentimes if people are not aware of what's happening, they're not going to become involved. So this project is really to advance the immigrant rights in the state.
With so many programs, I have to ask, how are you supported? How are you funded?
Anyway, so in Adelante Mujeres, we have a lot of different sources of funding, such as grants, private grants that we apply for. I know in the Chicas program, we have at least 30 grants that we work with every year.
Wow, 30. That's an awful lot of administrative.
And that's just within the Chicas program.
Wow. And just in that program, that's an awful lot of administrative demand to keep working on those grants and working with your partners. Wow. And the other programs, that's in addition to grants, I imagine money from the farmers markets, perhaps?
Yeah, I want to say that they also have more, like, they have more, I know that, for example, farmers market, they have access to more of those grants around from agriculture. But I can definitely find out. I don't want to speak on behalf of that because I really don't have a lot of details on those. Okay. And you probably cut that out.
Well, and thank you for being as expansive as you can. I know that you're responsible for one program and yet you're representing the whole agency today, which, again, we appreciate. And going back to your program, the Chicas program is focusing on young Latina women and girls. This program you run seems to have so much going on. We've talked about some of it. Can you tell me about all the activities so our listeners can understand it better? And in particular, how you measure their success?
Yeah, definitely. So yes, the Chicas program, we started back in 2008 academic year. And again, it was really responding from a need from the community. Our adult education moms came to our executive director and said, you know, we're receiving a lot of support for us. We are receiving a lot of support for our little ones through our early education classes, but they were lacking that support for their teenagers. There was a lot of high school dropout, a lot of high school pregnancy. And so that's where the idea of a program to support our youth was born. And it has been so successful that we have expanded quite a bit. Now we work in three districts in Washington County, Hillsborough, Forest Grove, and Beaverton. And we work with students in a third through 12th grade and about almost 800 students. So it's a very successful program. Our priority is really to empower Latinas by developing their leadership potential, adopting healthy lifestyles, develop cultural identity, and making sure they're achieving academic success. And that is making sure they're graduating from high school and then continuing to post-secondary education. And if it is not a four-year college degree, it could be something else, making sure that we are supporting them through that process. And one of the things is really building that sisterhood and community within our sessions. Some of the things that we want to make sure is that our girls are proud of who they are as individuals, where they come from, proud of speaking their language outside of home. And so that's why we make sure that our sessions are bilingual, that the girls are getting that from their facilitators. And every time they come to a session, they find a safe space where they can share anything they want to share. And knowing that once they get to their group, their session, anything they share will stay there. They have that confidentiality and making sure that they just have that safe space for themselves.
That's excellent. So you've got psychological support, educational support. That just sounds absolutely terrific, so complete. If it's been going for 12 years, what successes have you seen? What have you seen percentage of more graduates, a higher percentage, pardon me, of graduates? Have you seen people display some leadership, perhaps seeking committee positions in government or even elected office? What are you seeing?
Absolutely. We have seen a lot of great successes with our students. And for example, our participants, one of the things that we do, we highly encourage them to participate in different community committees. I know a lot of our girls have participated in, for example, one of our students that just graduated was part of the Youth Leadership or Advisory Committee for the City of Cornelius. We've also had some for the City of Forest Grove. We've had girls participating in the different communities in Hillsborough, and so really making sure that they are actively engaged in their community, as well as our families. One of our really strong components is family engagement. We understand that in order for a student to be successful, we need the entire family on board. And so we make sure that our families have the resources they need to support their students, but that they are also actively involved in different committees. We encourage them to participate in the different committees within their schools, their kids' schools, so they could participate there in the PAC groups or in the district-wide committees, just to make sure that their voices are being heard. And so, yes, we definitely see a lot of them actively engaged in their communities. Mm-hmm. And when they come back, they also, when they're done with college, they also, we make sure, we encourage them to come back to their community to get a job within their community.
And also, perhaps, if they can, to serve as mentors for new folks coming through the program, if I'm following you correctly.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. You know, we're taping this at the end of July in the midst of the COVID-19 virus, a pandemic that's hit a disproportionate number of Latinos in our county and nationwide, I believe. How has the virus impacted the Latinas you work with? Has it changed how you deliver your services?
Absolutely. I mean, when all this happened, our priority was reaching out to our families and asking them basically how they were feeling, what kind of support they needed from us. I can tell you there was dozens of phone calls made by all of our facilitators because there's almost 800 students. So every student needed a call and just every student had a different need. And so that was our priority, checking in with them and see what kind of support they needed. And then also working closely with the school districts on their remote learning plan, becoming very aware of what that was going to look like so that then we can share that information with their families, really being that bridge between the district and the families, because a lot of families might not be communicating with their schools. They might not be calling their schools. And so making sure that we were at least providing those resources, as well as helping a lot of the families that we work with didn't have access to Wi-Fi or didn't have access to Chromebooks. So communicating with them and see who needed that kind of support, because some of the things that we were hearing from our girls was, like, one story in particular was she was going to her neighbor's house to have access to her Wi-Fi. And mm-hmm. So those are the things that we just needed to jump right in and making sure that we were supporting those families. Once we were able to support the students to become a little bit more familiarized with remote learning, that's when we decided to launch our virtual sessions. And also just working with the districts and understanding what platform they were using so that we can also use that and just to keep the students safe, because, you know, obviously with all this technology, all these things happening online. So we wanted to make sure that we were using whatever the school district was using. For example, with Hills Run Forest Grove, we were using Google Classrooms, Google Meets to meet with our girls. And so, yeah, we continue our sessions every week, meeting with them right after they were done with their remote learning. And it was great. The girls, some of the things that we were hearing from our girls, and it was just really hard to hear from our younger girls, fourth graders. Some of their concerns were, well, my mom is not working, my dad's not working, we don't know how we're going to pay for rent. And so it's really hard to hear that from a fourth grader, that their concern is their parents being worried about, I can't pay for rent, I can't.
Well,
staying
yes.
at home is very different for everyone. And I know staying at home was challenging for a lot of our families, especially, you know, if they needed to buy food for all of a sudden for five kids a day or, you know, three kids a day. That's very different. And so making sure that we were supporting those families that might have been needing food, families that lost their job. Adelante Mujeres has been very active in supporting the community. We've provided farmers market vouchers to a lot of our families. We became the Oregon Workers Relief Fund, providing financial assistance to undocumented workers. So we were working with families, helping them apply for that and providing them with those resources. We became the business, we had a business recovery center at Adelante Mujeres. We just, as an organization, jumped right in and started figuring out, okay, what do we need? What do our families need? What kind of resources? And so we have been very fortunate to have amazing partners that believe in us and that work with us so that we are able to provide the families the support that they need.
Well, there are two particular concerns that struck me as you try and help support the folks working through your programs with this COVID thing and the technology. I don't know how many of your students would necessarily have access to the technology that they need. Was that a problem? Is that a problem? And were you able to help those who couldn't get to a computer or an iPad?
Yeah, definitely. We did have a lot of families that didn't have access to that, but I'm working closely with the district and I'm letting them know, hey, we're working with this family. They still need access to a hotspot or Chromebook. And so just I think having those strong partnerships was very helpful because we were able to then connect those families to the district, because the districts had so much going on that obviously there might be some families that they were not being able to reach out to. Families worked long hours. So you know, we would work with them in the evenings to talk to them about, you know, hey, your kids are starting remote learning. Do you know what that's going to look like? And so definitely all of that technology was interesting, just being able to provide that to the families, but also helping families, parents understand how to help their kids. That was one of the things that we were hearing a lot from parents, very emotionally drained, because they felt like they were failing their kids. You know, remote learning is challenging as a parent. I know it was a struggle for me to help my kids navigate that and understanding how to help them. And so we had a lot of parents that didn't know how to use a computer. And so helping them go through that process and making sure that they were feeling that they were supporting their kids with what they could. And if they were not able to, then how can we as a program provide that support to their kids? So it was definitely a lot of different type of support that was needed from our families.
It sounds like as an organization, you really had to scramble to meet an amazing amount of needs that no one expected to have happen. But the one issue that still sticks in my mind as a concern, if there's a higher proportion of Latinos, Latinx, getting this awful virus, I'm also wondering about access to healthcare. And if that's a concern for the population that you work with, how you're able to help.
Yeah, I would say definitely providing them with resources to where they can go. That is a concern, of course, but unfortunately, as an organization, we don't have more than working and providing them with those resources that we have through partnerships, basically. And so a lot of the families would call us like, this is what I'm looking for. And so then we would try to figure out calling our partners, doing research online where we can connect them to. So it's really connecting them to other resources or other partners that we had.
Letitia, one of the things that comes to mind as we talk is just how does staff deliver the service? I could see you being in group work or classrooms or one-on-one. How does that work?
In a normal time before COVID, for example, for the chicas, we go to their schools. We provide the services at their schools. For the parent workshops, we would also go to the schools and provide the different workshops in the evening. For all the other classes, adult education, the business program, that we also go to the participants. So we might be like, for example, in Beaverton, rent a facility to host different groups for the workshop. So we normally just go out to the community and offer those services to the participants.
Excellent, thank you. It also saves you on office space. I'm wondering, when you were younger, before you were employed in this organization, did you ever receive services from either Adelante Mujeres or a similar organization?
No, I've always said I came to this country when I was 13 years old. And so I've always said when I heard about Adelante Mujeres and I seek employment with them and I learned about Chicas, one of the things why I was so interested in being part of Chicas was because growing up, coming here with not speaking the language, I always wished I had that support, you know, somebody that can, a group that I could relate to, a group that I can go to for that emotional support. And so, no, I wasn't part of the organization, but I'm definitely glad it exists. I'm very happy that other students are able to benefit from it. And if I had been part of it growing up, I know that my experience through high school would have been way different, and even my experience through post-secondary education, I know, would have been very different as well.
I can feel that knowledge that you just shared with us helps to maximize your commitment to this program. I think it's really neat. I think the programs, the Chicas programs, and the other work that Adelante Mujeres is doing is excellent. And please, I want to thank you one more time for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me here. And thank you.
Thank you for listening to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. Go to our website, insidewashco.org, to contact us or leave comments on this interview. This series is produced by Rick Paulson. Thank you.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring a program director to manage our programming department. This full-time position requires proven experience in program directing, radio audio production, management, and supervisory skills with volunteers.